ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sport.
For anything, but that is phenomenal.
The hammer's away over the 40, the 30. Kennedy misses him. It's hammer time.
Leach catches, scores. That is brilliant. Bang!
Oh, baby, this is awesome. This is madness. This is gripping.
Game, set, bingo!
ABC Sports coverage of the 2026 NRL Premiership.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
And a very pleasant Friday evening to you from chilly Campbelltown Stadium. It's the start of the post-State of Origin period, the run home to the finals. We're up to round 19, so nine rounds to go. And it's the West Tigers playing the Warriors with West 12th on the table, 4 points outside the top eight, and a club making headlines once again. The Warriors are in second place on 26 points, 2 wins behind top of the table. Penrith, 4 points ahead of the Tigers. Sitting with very happy New South Welshman Luke Lewis, former Manly New South Wales and Australian halfback John Gibbs. I'm Andrew Moore. It's currently 9 degrees here at Campbelltown Stadium, down to 8 degrees come full time. The team news is through for the West Tigers, who do welcome back Jerome Luai and second rower Samuela Fainu, but they are without the injured Appy Kroisau for about a month, so Jasesi Lanyon will get the role as starting dummy half. Jared Hayward, a 19-year-old hooker, will make his NRL debut, and he replaces Charlie Murray on the Tigers bench. So Jared Hayward replaces Charlie Murray, and this young man is contracted with the Tigers until the end of 2028, but tonight his debut. For the Warriors, their only change is on the bench, and they welcome back James Fisher-Harris, Leke Halasima. He's back in the starting lineup in the second row as well for the Warriors. But you can scratch Mekhi Tafua off the bench and replace him, ironically, with Luke Laulili. Now, Luke has been playing all year for the West Tigers. He's headed to the Perth Bears next year, but he's with the Warriors for the rest of this season, and he's named in the number 21 jersey on the extended bench. No Mitch Barnett, no Kurt Capewell. They are not backing up, as expected, from State of Origin 3 on Wednesday night. Referee is Wyatt Raymond with Chris Butler in the bunker. Kickoff set for 8 o'clock, and the crowd just starting to build here at Campbelltown. They've actually had really good crowds here so far this year, so hopefully it'll be around the 15,000 mark come kickoff. The Warriors have been great all season. Now, they've won 9 of their last 10 games against the Tigers. Wests do have key players, Jerome Luai and second rower Samuela Fainu, as I mentioned, returning tonight. But what impact does the news that Jerome Luai will be out at the end of the year have? With Parramatta looming as his 12-month home before heading to the new team in Port Moresby, the PNG Chiefs, in 2028. Last night at Shark Park, round 2 of the NRLW season kicked off with Brisbane beating Cronulla Sutherland 22 points to 16. It was a tight old affair. The Sharks hit the lead in the second half, but Brisbane ended up being a little too good, 22 to 16, to stretch their unbeaten run. Your text messages are welcome before and after the game on 0467 920 222. That's 0467 92022. Plenty for us to talk about. And we will be joined in the pre-game show by Manly Warringah front rower Kobe Hetherington ahead of their very important game on Sunday afternoon against North Queensland at Brookvale. All right, let's go. Luke Lewis, fresh from Wednesday night's third start of Origin game, is here. How are you, Louie?
I'm very well, boys. Pretty happy, to be fair. Obviously, after Wednesday night, none of my mates from Queensland have rang for a couple of days, which has been nice. But, what an awesome, amazing night it was on Wednesday. And I was so stoked for Laurie Daly. Obviously, New South Wales in a hole. And obviously, Nathan Cleary is probably another one that I'm really happy for, the way that he played. And I feel like he's just sort of put himself into that situation now where all the talk has to stop. I think he just nailed it the other night. So very, very happy for them. But, yeah, just proud to be a Blue. But here we are, another weekend of rugby league. Can't wait for tonight, see how it's going to unfold. Obviously, the story sort of building behind Jerome Luai is very interesting.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how he plays tonight too. So, but I'm going for a little bit of an upset tonight, Maury. I think Tigers are going to get the Warriors.
Even without Appy?
Yeah, I'm just going to go for it. I feel like I've got that bit of a jittery feel at the moment.
A jittery feel?
Yeah.
That could be anything for you.
That's true.
Let me just, before we welcome in Gibbsy, as a player, Louie, and you know, you played 17 Origin games, but whether it's having played an Origin series or not, we start this stretch. Now it's the run home, basically, after the Origin period, and the excuses run out in the mid-season kind of lulls in form that teams invariably get. Is it time now to press the go button, or is it still over 9 weeks a process?
Yeah, I think it's still a bit of a process. You get a bit of an Origin hangover. I do believe in this, and I remember when you play, you get so up and you're ready to rock and roll, and you're playing these amazing games, and then you come back to club level, and the atmosphere and the build up's not as much, so you do go for a little bit of a flat patch, and maybe only for a couple of weeks just to get back to. You know, you've had a lot of football, a lot of training under your belt, and then all of a sudden you come out the other end. So I reckon by round 22, a lot of the Origin boys will come back and they'll be flying, but I do expect a bit of a flat patch between now and round 22.
Well, a man who suffers no such thing, no State of Origin hangover, no hangover, is a picture of health, John Gibbs. How are you, mate? Good to see you.
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Andrew and Luke. And Wednesday night was a great night until Thursday morning when I was leaving Bris Vegas.
I've heard rumours about you hotel room disaster.
Mini disaster, flooded room. Would you believe that I had a crack in my mug?
I did not do it, I promise.
When you say flooded room, is that a slight exaggeration?
Well, they're only little rooms.
that is a little room and it was a big mug.
But it went everywhere. But I'm looking forward to the run home now. But even so, Louis spoke about the hangover. There's no doubt about that. There's an air of confidence that players bring back. But also, we have James Tedesco and Jack Bostock, for instance,
yep,
who are going to miss the next two games because of concussion protocols from the other night. So it still does have an effect. But I think most fans really like this period now.
Yeah.
They love the State of Origin, and most people, you know, close to us, you know, wanted New South Wales to win. And well done to Laurie because he certainly was much maligned, and the players stood up for him. And those changes that he made did wonders. And also Nathan Cleary, second try he scored. I was going to say the second try was the old Penrith firm with Stephen Crichton as well, and Cleary scoring. So
we'll get into all the Origin wrap because there's so much to unpack. And Laurie Daly, by the way, will join us tomorrow on the pre-game show at about 20 past two. The victorious New South Wales coach, Laurie Daly. Tonight we get to watch the Warriors. A lot of people, including, I know Louie, is riding the Tigers off as a finals prospect now. They are only 4 points out of the eight. But the Warriors, Gibbsy, they've been elite all year, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been excellent. And they've had some injury problems as well. So they've shown great depth. And Helasima and Fisher-Harris coming back, they were injured in that great game that we did against the Warriors, against Penrith, should I say, at Parramatta. So they are elite, but, you know, they were thrashed by the West Tigers last game. Round four over there at Mount Smart? They got them comfortably, but that's the only game the West Tigers have won against the Warriors in 10 starts.
Yeah, they've won one of their last eight games here. We've often spoken about that here at Campbelltown. They have a really oddly terrible record at this ground particularly.
I wonder why that is.
Well, I suppose when you have upwards of three or four home grounds, it seems like it's only Leichhardt and Campbelltown this year, but I don't know.
Yeah, it must be the travel for them. They would obviously all live over that way, and it does feel like a bit of a home, like a away game.
Well, what about the Warriors?
No, I understand
from New
that.
Zealand.
It's everyone's going to travel from there to hear. But what I mean for the Tigers, it probably doesn't really feel like an actual home game.
Possibly. I think there's a deletion does play an effect. It has an effect, and we've spoken about that forever. And the last time we were at Leichhardt, they produced a pretty good effort, and that was Jerome Luai scoring three tries. And tonight, again, it is an incredible story. And you mentioned it, Louis, the fact that they've tapped him on the shoulder. They don't want him around.
I find it extraordinary. We can get into it now if you like, and then we're going to relive some highlights from Wednesday night's Origin. But, yeah, if you haven't caught up with the news, Jerome Luai signed a five-year deal with the West Tigers, but that's a bit deceptive because after the first 2 years, there are player options after every single year. I mean, it's the weirdest contract you've ever seen. But the West Tigers seem to have signed a few of those in recent years. So they basically told him, go and look somewhere else. As we know, he'd signed with the PNG Chiefs for 2028 and beyond their first year. He's their first major signing. And on the surface, it seemed like that had been handled really well, A, by Jerome, and B, the West Tigers seemed to accept that very professionally, and there seemed to be great courtesy between the pair. But now they've basically told him, off you go. We're going to blood some youngsters or save salary cap room for the likes of Samuela Fainu. So in my mind, I was weighing all this up last night, actually, and I'm thinking, it's either really smart or really dumb. I don't know why you'd want to give up a player like this. And then the other part of the equation is, where does he go? It seems Parramatta is a $1 favourite to sign him for a 12-month period like they've done this year with Jonah Pezzett. Is that good management from Parramatta or not? I don't know what the answers are. But, Louis, what was your initial reaction to hearing all this?
I find it bizarre. I do. I thought that I'm with you. The way they handled the situation was really good.
Initially,
I actually thought, you know, Jerome, you know, said he's 100% here, doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to play his football here and really leave the club in a better situation than when he come. And then all of a sudden, they're talking about him moving. I find it weird going to Parramatta because I find Volkman's starting to find some really good form at Parramatta. I really like the way that he's playing. He's adding a lot of value with his running game. He's scoring tries. I think that
he's finally establishing himself as a really good NRL player.
And then I'm sitting there going, if you've got a combination starting to build there with, say, Moses and Volkman, why would you bring someone in for 12 months? I find that bizarre as well. So I think there's a lot more to it. I reckon there must be something that the club is sort of finding, or he's not fitting in with the group at the moment because he has signed somewhere else. I don't know. I'm just making this up, but there has to be more to it.
I did run into someone who works at the West Tigers on the way into the ground. Perfectly friendly conversation, but I said, oh, I was really stunned about Jerome Luai. He said, what would you guys in the media do without the West Tigers? We give you something to talk about every week. I'm like, you really, really do. What was your reaction, Jonty?
Yeah, I think it is bizarre. Like, I think that's the apt description from Louis. But I'm like Louis. I think also there's something behind the scenes, whether he's butting heads possibly with Benji or whatever, or some of the players have had something to say about the way things have happened. And I know that he didn't turn up at the game last week. He pulled out late with, you know, delayed concussion. And that's fair enough. But you would think that a player that means so much, and apparently he's led the culture revival at the West Tigers, would be at the game. I know he probably had permission not to be at the game, but I find that all a little bit strange.
Yeah.
So there's something happening. We'll see how he reacts tonight, because in that game at Leichhardt, there's a fair bit of pressure on that. And he basically single-handedly got them home against the Titans at Leichhardt, that last game at Leichhardt. So
it looked like that was a real turning point, that he was unleashed from whatever burden there may or may not have been.
And that cryptic message that he left as well, it's not my plan, it's God's plan. So I'm not quite sure what's happening. The situation with Jonah Pezzett, for instance, I wouldn't say it's been an outrageous success.
Well, so
he's had injuries, I know.
This is the other question. How do we judge these 2 years of Jerome Luai at the West Tigers? Now, if they don't make the finals, they haven't still made the finals since 2011. Or do you view it, well, it has been a success because it's given the club credibility from other prospective players coming over and joining the West Tigers. How is it to be rated these 2 years?
Well, you know what? Let's have that discussion in 5 or 6 weeks, because if they keep plummeting and they've had three losses in a row, and they got beaten by the Dragons last week, the Dragons and Tigers, the only two clubs that didn't have any state of origin representatives, so that was like a fair dinkum full-on game, then this discussion would be completely different. And it could go either way. They could lift tonight, and I know a lot of people have a sneaky suspicion that they'll win tonight. I don't. But if they keep going down, we're going to be where we were before.
Thumbs up or thumbs down for the whole signing? Over $1 million a year.
Yeah, I don't think it's been a massive success. But in saying that, talking to people on the inside, they said that he's been outstanding for way people turn up and the way they apply themselves to training. So that's a huge plus. But on the field and results wise, that hasn't changed a lot. And it's not his fault though. That's got to be everyone accountable. And they've had a lot of injuries in certain parts. So I find it hard to give him judgment on the field, but off-field, from all reports, I think it's been really good for him. But I just I don't think they achieved what they wanted to achieve with him here. They wanted to get semi-finals, and they wanted to be pushing for semi-final year after year, and they've now lost their big signing.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what arrangement is made. So say it's Parramatta. Are they paying the full $1.2 million or whatever it is? Or do the Tigers have to contribute? You're not paying that money for a one-year deal.
No.
When you know the guy's leaving.
I'm still going to stick solid to, like, why would you do that for 1 year at Parramatta when you've got young Hawkman playing good footy?
0467 920 222. The big question is, how much are the Tigers putting in? What club is going to pay full freight?
None.
I think that's right. Francis says, hard to say what will happen tonight, but Warriors should win. Team can't wait for the call tonight, but can Luke and Billy from another mother have a post-origin conversation discussion? From a sad Queensland fan, from Brian at Far North Queensland. I'm not sure anyone's been able to raise Billy Moore since Wednesday night and the decision.
I think Billy found out about Louis' strategy, lose the debate and win the game.
I know.
It worked.
A masterstroke. You'll have to bring that up with Laurie on the coverage tomorrow. Whatever you're claiming credit for, Laurie, it was you, Luke Lewis.
Well, I just thought outside the box, and I got it right. And the footy gods were listening. And poor Gibra, we call him at the moment, because he was gibbering a lot.
You're calling him a dribbler.
Dribbler, yeah. Well, same thing. And can't get in contact with him.
It's amazing. Dave says, let's be honest, the team who were better for 2 games out of 3 didn't win the Origin Series. Anyone who doesn't acknowledge that is deluding themselves. Yeah, but Dave, the question is, who cares? It doesn't matter. New South Wales played well in Game 3, but got a free pass in Game 1, and Cleary wasn't the best player over 3 games. Walker was. Well, Sam Walker went absolutely missing on Wednesday night. The New South Wales players did a great job in shutting him down, and when the series was on the line, Nathan Cleary was great and Sam was nowhere to be seen. 0467 920 222, though, to send a text message. All right, well, let's relive the highlights. It was New South Wales winning rather comfortably in the end over Queensland in the decider.
3, 2, 1, let's go. 4 metres out in front of the right upright. No score. Robson goes right to Cleary. Beats 1-2. He's only half a metre out. Can he get there? He does. Nathan Cleary, brilliant, close to the line. 14 and a half gone. First points in the decider go to the Blues. Comes to the right edge, Liam Martin. Straight through them. Got it away to Crichton. Beats Ponga. Hit the deck. Got up. Gave it to Marky Mark. Steps in field past them. Horrible defence. Got the ball back on the inside. And crossing over to score for New South Wales. Nathan Cleary has 2. The Blues are all over the Maroons at Queensland's home turf. Ball played. Going for it is Hudson Young. Caught four out from the line. It's hard to believe Cobbo's the same bloke who dominated the first 2 games of the series. Now New South Wales getting within half a metre of the line. Are they closer than that? Cam Murray's got it on the line. Try to the Blues. They are crushing Queensland. 16-0. New South Wales leads. Last tackle, Grant goes left to Munster. Then away to Ponga out the back line to Tabuai Fadou. Dummies his way through to score. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, all look lost for Queensland, but all of a sudden, it's hammer time. Hammer, so Tabuai Fadou scores, and the Maroons do get on the board. Game alive, series alive. Left to Walsh and out the back to Kalen Ponga. Runs at the line, offloads. Tabuai Fadou to Cobbo. Put the ball on the ground. Bent for Marky Mark. Back to Cobbo. He scored a free try. Ashley climbs points to the spot. Wowzers. Selwyn Cobbo gets a try at a nothing. 10 the difference, 18-8 to the Blues. Crossfield kick looking for Fifita. The ball's lost backwards, picked up by the Blues. Down the left side, Best. He's over the 30. In for shoot, Ponga. On Best. Oh, Best beat him. That could be the series. Over the 20, over the 10. Bradman is Best. 90-metre run, Bradman Best. New South Wales. Wales 22, Queensland 8. It's played to Grant, goes right through, hands to Walker, dummies it, intercepted by New South Wales. That's it. Game, set, bingo! An Origin series to the Blues. They lead 26-12 with 8.5 minutes to go. As New South Wales, it's with Yeo. Turns it back to centre field left half. Siren sounds. Murray. Then away to Brayley. Drag to the ground 5 metres out. Got a pass away. Is that play on? Hudson Young is going to be awarded a try after the... Yeah, he is. Hudson with an H gets a deserved try. And the Blues get out the spatula and whack icing all over the cake. Hudson Young finishes it off in style. 30 points to 12.
Yeah, crowd, great one. 52,452. Wally Lewis, medal winner for player of the series, and for the fourth time in Origin player of the match, Nathan Cleary. It's amazing, Louis, to look back at this game, because Queensland looked on the back foot the whole game, and especially being down 18-0, that's obviously stating the obvious. But if the bunker had correctly ruled that it had been knocked on by New South Wales from that kick that led to Bradman Best, his exhilarating 90-metre run to the line, it would still have been 18 points to 8, and who knows what happens. Had the try from the kick been awarded to Rob Toyer, now that was correctly ruled offside, Max Plath was in front of the kicker, even though it was not much in it, but he was definitely offside. That would have meant that going into the last 10 minutes, it would have been a 6-point game and all the momentum with Queensland. So, well, I must admit, calling the game, I felt like New South Wales had it in hand the whole way through. The truth is, Queensland did have chances.
They did have chances. And Origin, we always talk about Origin. It's about moments in the game. But I feel like the only time Queensland looked on top in Game 3 was the first 10 minutes. When they were winning the arm wrestle battle, they were getting upfield nicely, they were kicking well, and they were getting their kick inside the 10-metre zone, they were stopping them 5 metres in, 5 metres out. They were doing a really good job. Then we got a little bit of... we were patient, New South Wales. We waited for our opportunities. We took it, and then we were down the other end, and we dominated from there. I thought our two back rolls were outstanding, by the way, in Liam Martin and Hudson Young.
Terrorised.
I thought our forward pack was really good. I thought Payne Haas laid the platform, but Fanua Blake come on and just took it up that extra notch, what we needed. And I thought Ken
they
Murray...
They crushed the Queensland forward.
They did. They did a really good job. Now, we had a message on there earlier saying, the better team had, at the end of the day, we put ourselves in a situation to get to a decider, and they had to get it right on the night. And I've always had this belief that if New South Wales, from 1 to 19, could play their best football, they're going to be hard to beat. The only problem is we hadn't seen it yet, and they got it right on the night, which is very important. But, you talk about those moments. I remember walking home, and I was just going over everything in my head about the whole game, is that I'm with you. There's not one moment in that game where I felt that we're ever going to lose, even if we got the calls that went against that didn't go our way. The 50-50 call with where Brabham Best ran away and scored.
That's not 50-50, that's a hard.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's a 50-50 call, right? It went up. I'm looking at it.
On field, it's 50-50.
Yeah, but in real life, it should have went to Queensland.
Yeah.
100% agree with that. But they're the calls that sometimes don't go our way, right? And it went our way that night. But I think we made our own luck. And the Rob Toyer, he was offside by a millimetre. But they got that right call. But I still believe, even if we were with that last 6 minutes, I just felt like the mindset with New South Wales, I wasn't worried at all. I was sitting in the box. I did not feel worried.
It's the most relaxed I've ever seen you in an Origin game.
Yeah, and then usually, if I know that we're a little bit under the pump, I start to stress a little bit, right? But I was just... I did not feel like we're ever going to lose that game. So I thought they were in control all night in New South Wales.
Every Queenslander I spoke to before the game...
were nervous.
Including guys like Chris Close. Yeah, used that exact... Oh, no, I'm really nervous about this one. Talking to Darryl Brum, I'm really nervous about this one.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. But Gibbsy, Laurie Daly has now won the series as coach. He's still got to decide what he wants his future to be. I think you'd rank that among one of his great Origin moments as a player or coach, and he had many as a player.
Oh, absolutely.
But what did he do right here that maybe they hadn't got right, him and his team, over the first two games?
Well, I think they picked a better side for a start. They made a multitude of changes from one to, game one to game three, and there was no changes for Queensland. But the changes that he made, like Liam Martin coming in, Bradman Best, and the rotations, Blake Brayley and Reece Robson, Adam Fanua Blake was used better, Payne Haas wasn't running straight off the dummy half, he was one pass wide, all of those things. Nathan Cleary and Mitchell Moses had defined roles. Mitchell Moses did the long kicking, the attacking kicking went to Nathan Cleary, they knew their roles.
Can I also just jump in there? They picked Origin players. You know, we always say you got to pick Origin players. And we talked about, Liam Martin wasn't been playing greatest football. For his club. Yeah, we said, oh, yeah, he wasn't playing well. He didn't have the greatest game. But he's a guy whose mindset is made for State of Origin. He loves to get messy. He loves to get dirty. He loves to hurt people.
He got under the skin of Cameron Munster.
He comes
again
out of the line. He tries different things. We picked him. Bradman Best, every time he's put a Blues jersey on, has played outstanding. But he makes... He looks like an Origin player. Every time he puts a jersey on, it's like something good's going to happen around him. So for me, I felt like they got the understanding of what an Origin player is and what an Origin player isn't. And I think they got that's the difference for me. I thought, like, on the Wednesday night in the decider game, everyone who played, they're players who just thrive in that moment. Whereas a couple of times before, we probably didn't get the mix right, but they gave them an opportunity. But I felt like our two back rowers, I could keep talking about, Hudson Young, mate, they are Origin players. They're just hard heads. They love to mix it up. They're willing to go for 80, 90, 110 minutes, and they get under people's skin. I thought that was so good for us. I thought even Isaiah Yeo played really well the other night.
He always plays well, but he up the middle, he was fantastic, Isaiah Yeo. But Liam Martin got under the skin of Cameron Munster. Cameron Munster missed 10 tackles.
Oh, no. Yeah.
10 tackles. I mean, he was, you know, in trouble. Sam Walker didn't get the same latitude. Hudson Young has spoken about it. So he was in his head. Hudson Young, you got to love... You got to love
a little bit off-field banner.
Yeah, he just, you know, he was giving to him. Hey, I'll get him. I know you got to. You
it's
got
like
to
Glenn McGrath used to declare, "I'm going to target this bloke during the series."
And then he did that.
Get him out.
He did that. You know, that's that dangerous tackle at the start, the half by spear tackle. Oh no, what's he done? But when you saw it, it wasn't too that bad. But you just say, "Settle down a little bit. Settle down." He was fantastic. He was mighty. They were all mighty. Just by the way, we mentioned Max Plath. Max Plath, his first series. I thought he was just about their best player.
He was
excellent again. I don't want to dwell on that call of Jack. No, what I want to say, and I agree with you, the better team won. We know that and all of those things, but that doesn't matter. Things could change and all of that. They were in control. But notwithstanding, it goes to the bunker. You, Andrew and Luke, have got a little screen.
Arnie.
You can see it. I'm looking at a screen 100 metres away, a big screen, and I've got old eyes, 70-year-old eyes. I've got good glasses, though, then you. And you can see it's touched his... How do they get that wrong? And why doesn't anyone say it?
The excuse is the worst thing for me, hearing all this crap about other technology, and it was a miss that should never have been...
But they admitted the NRL came out that night and said that Bradman Best try should not have been awarded. I'm not worried about the game. I'm just saying, how do we then go next week? We have the same officials for every game, and they'll say they get 97% of things right. Well, guess what?
It is frustrating.
97% of the decisions they have to make are slam dunks.
The problem is that the bunker and all this, you know, Hawkeye and tennis and the cricket stuff, in every sport, the technology is brought in to, this is what we all got told when it first started, same with the VAR in football. Eradicate the howler. Get rid of the howler. Yet, it's the bunker that is making the howlers.
Yeah, correct. They're actually missing.
That's what
howlers.
I don't get.
I don't understand it either. I really
human error on field, I could care less about. That doesn't worry me.
Human error on field, and you know what? Very hard to see that on field. You just let it go.
Of course.
You're sitting, like you said, if we could all see it, there was 52,000 people in the crowd that could see it. That were there. And then all the people at home that were watching it could see it. Obviously, all the New South Wales Blues ones, I was pretending not to see it, but I could see the finger move.
And every Queensland player was protesting.
Yeah, but it's that is horrible how we miss out. For a game as big as what we are and how much money we're worth and what we're doing, moving forward, that needs to be fixed.
It can't be good enough just to come out that night or whenever and say, the bunker got that wrong. How? How is it getting it wrong and how are we fixing the system? Because the system is so broken.
Well, I'd hate it. Imagine being in a grand final. You only got to ever play in one grand final and that made the decision. And you know you could see it perfectly between winning and losing.
Yeah, and it's going to happen at some point. It's happened with referee decisions, but that's been happening since 1908. Again, people can accept that, especially the speed of the game now. But it's things like that from the bunker that drive everyone berserk. But anyway, New South Wales deserved winners, by and large, 30-12. I do agree with our listener that Queensland was much the better team for two games, but I reiterate, it doesn't matter. It came down to a decider, and it's who plays best on the day. And look, there's no way, with all the moments you can mention, and to me a big thing that stands out for the series was Queensland up 20-0 at Stadium Australia, on the attack again with 7 or 8 minutes to go before half-time. Tackle 2 or 3, and Ruben Cotter, who I thought had a shocking series, knocked on 5 metres out from the line. After winning the scrum, the Blues went down the other end and Hudson Young scored to give them some sort of a sniff at 20 points to 6 at half-time. To me, that's where everything changed, and obviously the most significant event was the sending off of Kalyn Ponga. But
just quickly, Andrew, on Nathan Cleary, and a lot of people say, oh, well, he didn't do that. Well, that 23 minutes, it was Nathan Cleary who got them home. Despite the fact they had 12 men, if Nathan Cleary wasn't in the team, they don't win. He came 40, up that 40-20, the
scored
try,
a try, set up two tries, and then
dominated it on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
agreed. Now, on Nathan Cleary, this is just a little morsel for you, John Gibbs. Now, if you just nod knowingly, I'll be so disappointed. Nathan Cleary in 2026, Jonathan Vincent Gibbs, has won more games at Lang Park than the Brisbane Broncos.
That's a great morsel.
How good is that morsel?
No, that's a now, fantastic
if,
morsel.
If he wins the World Cup this year, that'll and
be
he wins
four.
The Daily M,
yes.
Does that mean he wins everything? If he wins and wins the competition,
well,
he's on track.
Comp.
He's on track to win the comp.
He's on track for a very big year.
Very big year.
He's had a few of them.
Let's so
hope
he might as give him the golden
let's
boot.
Let's hope
too.
He stays fit.
He'll be fit.
So, yeah, they won against Brisbane. That was in round one, I think, from memory, at Lang Park. They beat St George Illawarra Magic Round in that last game on the Sunday night, and now Origin and Brisbane Broncos have only won two home games at Lang Park.
You see, talking about that fitness, right, he's had a few problems with his kicking and all of those things. See, the same thing that Queensland is saying about New South Wales this year, you could say about New South Wales last year, should have won. We saw what happened in Perth, couldn't kick a goal, all of those things. Trailed by her. But Nathan Cleary the other night only had to do limited kicking, was able to save himself for running, no worries. And what about the cork from Mitch Moses? We thought he...
That was early on.
And so check that at half-time. It was a cork, but he's out of Parramatta this week because of that cork.
Now, I've just been in contact with the great Billy Moore, my brother from another mother.
Hi, Billy.
He just wanted to remind us all that he will be up and about. He's been in bed for 2 days since the Origin.
Under the bed.
But he will be there with Zane Bojack and, I think it's Quentin Allen, Brad Talon tomorrow at Dolphin Oval for the 3 o'clock game between the Dolphins and Cronulla Sutherland. He'll be there co-commentating. And he said, I can only take it from the word written in a text message, Queensland. That sounds like what I have in my head for what he said. So Billy will be online tomorrow and maybe after the preview, Lou. If you want to talk to Billy about anything, you can just have at it.
No, I love him. It's just Origin's over, yeah. New South Wales are just a little bit too good in game one and game three, but I got that respect for Billy. I love him.
On the text line 0467 920 222, guys, if the Tigers are topping up Luai's salary, the mighty Whitsunday Brahmins will have him for $1,000 a win and $200 a loss next year. Well, we'll put that to them. Wes, we'll see. Brian of Sherlock Forest says 3 in the bunker for Origin in the finals, ? To me, in some ways, Brian, that makes sense, and a lot would agree with you that basically it's two, if two say one way, that outranks one. But to me, that's just three people that can get it wrong.
That's right. I reckon it's a horrible system.
It should only be one that's required, surely.
I think there is assistance, though.
There are
others
there
in
already,
there
yeah,
giving advice and pointing things out.
But it's not that hard to go, mate, you touched the ball. But there's no way in the world, if we all seen it, that two people or three people in there have gone, or two people have gone, no, I didn't see it, then one says, well, he did.
You saw his fingers move and you saw the ball deviate.
On the text line, Don says, as a Queenslander, he's from Cairns, I agree with Louis, New South Wales had Origin players, love the way they played. Hi, boys, Jonty is on fire. Can't he get a word in edgewise at home, asked Paul from Wagga. Well, your wife, Julianne, is...
Rules of roost.
She could be also called long-suffering as well. Andrew, is there any weight to Jerome going to Parra? It's a tantalising thought Origin has, but Junior alone can't punch a hole for them to create magic, says Mitch in the Highlands. Jerome, that seems to be everyone's most educated guess that he's going to end up signing with Parramatta, but nothing official at this stage. Team, is Billy calling the Cowboys game on Sunday? If so, I'll try and G him up for a final Origin debate with Luke next week. He's not, Brian. No, he won't be that game, but he will be on deck tomorrow for the Dolphins clash with Cronulla Sutherland. Coming up very shortly, Kobe Hetherington from Manly Warringah, the front rower, ahead of their big game, as you just mentioned, against the North Queensland Cowboys. Evening, gents. I reckon Billy's fine. Like me, he's probably happy the Blues were finally a worthy adversary. Have a good call. Thanks from Peter. Queenslander, P.S. Hear how happy Louie and others' blue sound warms the cockles of our hearts. Rich from Ocean Grove, snuggling up beside the wood stove and looking forward to the call. Tell me, if in boxing terms, Collingwood is the gatekeeper, what would you call my beloved Cats? Okay, that may be an AFL one. Can we send this on to Michael Carianis' home number? What does Gibbsy reckon about New South Wales electing not to convert the final try from Joe Bluebag from Toowoomba? I've heard so many people question this. Nothing matters less than that kick at goal. But
well, it does. There's one.
What?
Yeah, he could have broke the record.
Well, he could have, but he obviously didn't care about the record.
I don't think he really knew, though.
Probably.
It'd be pretty cool, though, if you're about to go down and you are a halfback and, you know, all this talk's been talked about you. And
just
you're
to
about,
say.
Just to go, well.
Chewy on your boot.
Well, he achieved so much the other night and that would have been another feather in his cap.
Yeah, so did it bother you that they didn't take the shot?
Not really.
No, it didn't bother me either.
No, nor me.
They were popping the champagne corks, as they
That say. Does happen. Now, in a club game, you'd be mad not to because so much can come down to for and against and all that sort of thing. You rarely see it. You very occasionally see it, but very rarely.
Pick the score.
You would normally see it. No, if a team's down... Oh, well, we saw it in the grand final in 2019. Was it Penrith and Melbourne? When
save time.
Yeah, Penrith scored a try late. They got to within six. And in the end, they decided... 2020 it was. They decided not to take the shot for goal. So they'd have enough time to have one more crack. And they had one play, 13 on 11, remember? Mm. Penrith against the Melbourne.
What I say, though, a lot of people say to me, knowing that I've had a little flutter over the years, they say, oh, they could have won the RRA. I said, well, there's just as many people who actually won it because he didn't do it.
Wasn't there also another thing about the game that you brought up stats-wise when it comes to Queensland wins, New South Wales wins? What was that?
Queensland wins and New South Wales wins, not quite sure.
I remember you had, I thought it might have been a certain amount of even now. If we won the decider, it'd end up being even or something.
No, I think Queensland's miles in
front. Oh, they, okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know what that might have been? It might have been Ashley Klein.
Yeah, right.
But isn't it remarkable?
23 games, 12-11.
Yes, that you did mention that. It is remarkable to me that New South Wales has won three in a row at Lang Park.
Two of them deciders.
Luke Lewis, John Gibbs, I'm Andrew Moore. This is NRL Thursday. No, it's not. It's Friday here at Campbelltown. So weird not to be working last night. NRL Friday on ABC Sport. We've got the Warriors warming up down to our left at the northern end of the ground, West Tigers at the southern or Leagues Club end of the ground. And the team news, not too much to report. One change to each side and that to the bench. For the West Tigers, a hooker, Jared Haywood, will make his NRL debut if he gets on. He's in for Charlie Murray, who'll wear jersey number 22. And for the Warriors, a change to their extended bench. Mackay Tafua is out, replaced by, until recently, a West Tiger, Luke Laulili. Referee White Raymond, Chris Butley in the bunker. Weather fine. There has been some rain about. It is chilly, about 9 degrees here at Seatown. Coming up next, though, we're going to check in with Manly Warringah ahead of their big game on Sunday against the Cows.
Budging on the blind side.
In the snow, I've always been told if you start stumbling, grumbling or mumbling, ask for help.
Ryan HG.
You've only got to almost walk past a table that's got a beer on it. You become,
legless.
Ryan HG on ABC Listen.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Friday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
All right, now on NRL Friday here on ABC Sport, let's look ahead. Sunday, the 4 o'clock game is at Brookvale Oval with Manly Warringah taking on the North Queensland Cowboys. Really important game for both teams. A Manly going through a bit of a funk at the moment. Will they get back on track? And the Cowboys are fighting tooth and nail to win a spot back inside the top eight. They both have 9 wins from 16 games. On the line is Manly forward Kobe Hetherington, set to line up in the front row against the Cowboys. G'day, Kobe. How are you going?
How you going, guys?
Mate, really well. Your team has been such a focal point of the year, you know, with the dismal start and the sacking of the coach and Fozball under Kieran Foran. And now you're sitting just inside the top eight. Where do you think you guys are at right at the moment, 18 rounds into the season?
Yeah, mate. I think we're tracking well. Obviously, a bit of a hiccup last game. We fixed a few things in defence and that there. We'll be, we're back in hopefully the top four, top eight. So, yeah, we just got to keep working hard. And all the boys are enjoying it on the Foz at the moment. And, yeah, it's just been enjoyable. So, we've got to get back to winning.
You know it oh so well after your time successfully at the Brisbane Broncos. How hard is it to maintain peak performance physically and mentally throughout 27 rounds of an NRL season? Because it seems every team has a hiccup at some point through the year.
Yeah, mate, it is tough, you know, especially with how close the draw is at the moment. You know, teams are fighting to stay in that eight. So, yeah, it's tough, mate, to turn up every week. But at the end of the day, mate, it's our job. And, yeah, we've got to turn up every week with the right attitude. And yeah, just to compete, I guess, yeah, as well. There's some tough teams out there. So we've just got to be competing and, yeah, just keep working hard.
I said at the start of the show, Kobe, that it feels like this is where the run home begins. The origin period is over for another year, and we won't mention the result. Bear in mind your Queensland lineage and your old man's great success with Queensland. But it seems that now the cobwebs need to be cast aside and teams slowly return to their best. Is that how it feels as a player now that the origin series is done?
Yeah, mate, for sure. We get two quality players back from origin. So they're going to be a big inclusion for us. But, yeah, it'll be good to just get the same teammate week in, week out. And, yeah, it would just be, yeah, it'd be good for the boys. It'd be good for, you know, Foz to have those boys back. And, yeah, I guess the fans as well.
Kobe, without dwelling on that last loss, which was a devastating blow for you boys, because, you're on the edge of the eight, you would have been ensconced in the four. You made it hard for yourself. You talk about missing tackles. Well, you're going to miss them in the game. It's so fast now because your completions for the first time, although the worst completions you had all year, you're in the 60s. I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, mate. I think we had 17 errors or something like that. And, you know, it's hard to win an error. And it's hard to win one error game, but to win an error game with 17 mistakes is bloody near impossible. So, yeah, we got to fix our discipline up and just pretty much get back to what we were doing. Yeah, tackling hard and defending hard, and we've been basing our game off defence. So yeah, we just got to get back to doing that. But yeah, as I said, it's hard to, you know, win an NRL game with 17 mistakes. So we've got to fix that up, and I think we'll be right.
And obviously, the Cowboys, since you last played them, they've gone a lot better. And that was round 7 when Tommy Turbo hurt his hammy and you boys towed them up 38-6. That was a really defining win for you boys. So they'll be up for this. And, you know, Brookvale Oval, hopefully a sunny Sunday afternoon. You've been winning there, packed crowd. It's all set up to be a beauty.
Yeah, mate, it will be. Yeah, Cowboys are a lot better team than when we last played them, and we know that. We've sort of done all the video and stuff on them, and, yeah, they're flying at the moment, so it'll be a good game, and it's always good to play at a packed crowd at Brookie. So, yeah, we just got to have... I don't think we've lost the game at Brookie under Foz yet, too. So, yeah, just hope all the fans are not coming out, and it should be a good day.
Now, you mentioned the State of Origin players that you get back, and that gives you a lot of strike, of course, but you've got to hang on to the ball, as we say, too, to be able to use that. But Hamola's obviously going to be right. How's Tolu?
Yeah, I think both of them should be right, hopefully. I don't know about Tolu. I don't really know too much. Both them boys didn't come into our last training session, obviously, with Origin, so I don't really know where they're at, but they're both tough buggers, so I'm guessing they'll both play, which will be, yeah, big inclusion for us.
Yeah, well, it's so often discussed, mainly amongst fans, Kobe, about the impact State of Origin has on club teams. And again, you've experienced it heavily at the Broncos and now with Manly. But every single NRL coach will say, we want State of Origin players, even if it messes with our results for a couple of weeks, because of the impact those players have on returning to club football. Is that something you've experienced over the years at both clubs?
Yeah, mate, for sure. I think that's anywhere. You know, players come back with more confidence and, yeah, just with the experience of being in camp as well, the players come back with, you know, different types of, they bring back stuff from Origin back into clubland. So, yeah, it's going to be real good. And we've both seen how, you know, Shamol and Tolu have both come back to clubland, and they've just dominated when they do come back. So hopefully they can bring that back as well.
Now, you know how important it is for you boys up front, particularly you and Taniela at the start, to give, you know, some sort of foundation for the halves. And Joey Walsh, he's only had a few games and he's going to get a long stint now. So I think a few of the players there, the elder statesmen like the Turbos, or the Gerbo and Turbo, have said, show some patience because he's so young. But I think he's really up to it. How's he looking at training now that he knows he's going to be ensconced there?
Yeah, everyone knows what Joey can do. He's, you know, shown glimpses of what he can do. Joey's a real professional for a young kid, and he's eager to learn too. He's got Jamal Fogarty there with him as well. He's really, you know, really helping him out in the halves, and what better coach to have than Foz, you know, teaching him the ropes. So yeah, Joey's a really good player, mate, and we've seen what he can do. And yeah, I'm really excited to obviously play with him and to see where he ends up in the future.
All right. Well, Kobe, this season, as you know, is as unpredictable as ever. Let's see how you go as a tipster. We're about to call West Tigers against the Warriors here at Campbelltown. Who's going to win?
My roommate's Jock Madden, who plays for the Tigers. So I'll have to go Tigers, mate, or else I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, we can't have unrest at home, for goodness sake.
That's it, mate. That's it. You might spike my dinner or something.
Is he the cook or are you?
Nah, I'm the cook, mate. I'm the cook.
Hey,
steak and veggies, mate. Show on the barbecue.
Oh, how good. You can live with that. You can live on that. All right, Kobe. Appreciate your time tonight, mate. Good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate that.